Hello, and thank you for tuning in to St. Columba Anglican Church in Beaumont, Alberta. I'm Stephanie London, and today is Sunday, November 6th, 2022. Our Bible reading today is Luke chapter 20, verses 27 to 38. I'd like to invite us into an imaginative exercise this morning. Cast your mind back, way back to December 1999. If you're old enough, do you remember it? Anxiety was rising. There were fears, speculations, predictions. And while we may not be superstitious enough to believe that a year with a big round number would bring about the end of the world, we could certainly imagine that that end coming through technology. Do you remember how they realized that every computer in the world recorded the year in two digits, 99, and that the switch at midnight on December 31st to 00 was going to confuse the machines so severely that elevators would stop between floors, trucks would stall on the highway, government systems would fail, weapons would launch, and this whole interconnected world would be brought crashing down? I had an uncle who worked on mainframe computers at the time, and I remember how the workload increased exponentially for him and his colleagues as they worked around the clock to correct the short-sighted error. By the time New Year's Eve arrived, on the brink of a new millennium, the world was buzzing with anxious tension, and everyone was watching. The next morning, January 1st, 2000, I happened on a newspaper from the week before, and the headline was all Y2K, what will happen, will the world end? I could feel the fear vibrating off the pages. But it was laughable. It wasn't relevant. It wasn't even a question anymore, because we knew that, in fact, the world hadn't ended. Australia hadn't slid into the sea. Everything hadn't collapsed. From our New Year's Day point of view, all those fears had just vaporized. Sort of like how our earthly questions somehow won't even be relevant when God's kingdom comes in its fullness. Today, as we celebrate All Saints, we're being invited to recognize the truth and the hope of what we neither see nor understand. As much as we might try, there is so much more to reality than what we can fit in our heads. Somehow we have to live in relationship with a world that extends beyond our comprehension and past the borders of our lives. But that's not easy to do. So much of this world tries to convince us otherwise. In the gospel story we read today, a group of Sadducees, that's a religious group, came to Jesus and asked him a question based on this long, involved story about a woman whose husband dies, and then according to the law, her husband's brother marries her, but they have no children, and he dies. Then another brother marries her, and he too dies without children, and so on through seven brothers. So whose wife will she be in the resurrection? For all these seven brothers had married her, they asked him. My first thought is that poor woman finding herself as the punchline to this technical debate on the fine point of the law. On one level, the Sadducees are right. You can look it up in Deuteronomy 25, how a brother-in-law was indeed supposed to marry his dead brother's wife for a couple of reasons. One was to protect the widow and any children, not to leave them orphaned, because being a widow or an orphan in the ancient world was the most vulnerable position there was. So it's written into the law. If a man dies, there's this mechanism to make sure his family is cared for and safe. And the second reason is to protect the man's legacy, his name and his estate. So the first son that his wife and her new husband will have ends up carrying the name of the dead husband and so continues his family. It's a clever way of softening the effect of the man's death and ensuring that something of this man can continue beyond him. It's a process that's foreign and ancient to us, even though it did have a very important purpose then. But when the Sadducees get hold of it, it just becomes a way to challenge Jesus. Their point is not to find better ways to protect the vulnerable. It's just to prove Jesus wrong. Jesus tells us at the beginning, the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. Or Luke tells us at the beginning. As Jesus points out, they don't understand the resurrection either. They're looking at it with the eyes of this world, with the understanding of this world, and with the imagination of this world. And they think they get it. But no, Jesus says the people in this story are children of the resurrection, which means that they're no longer bound by the categories of this world. And from our earthly vantage point, we cannot even fathom what that means, because our sight only reaches so far. As the Sadducees would have found if they were open to it, following Jesus means having our sight expanded, having our understanding expanded, having our imagination expanded, so that we live in relationship to realities so much greater than ourselves. And so we're growing to understand just how little we understand. We've had tanks of gerbils in our family several times. Once when our oldest daughter was a baby, once just a couple of years ago. When you put gerbils in a new cage and line the floor with shredded paper bedding, the first thing they do is start to dig. Holes, tunnels, network of hidey holes, the first thing they do. So that when you open the lid to feed them, they can dart inside their tunnels. Or when you drop a plate, they can dart inside. Or you shut the door and it makes a noise. In they go. Gerbils can disappear into their tunnels in a flash. It's probably their greatest skill. And of course, it comes from generations of being somebody's prey, of being chased and eaten. Disappearing into their tunnels saved gerbils long enough that someone could eventually catch them and domesticate them and keep them on the counter where there are no foxes and no hawks and food appears every morning at 8 o'clock. But even so, the fear remains. And every few weeks, disaster strikes. Their world is turned upside down. A giant claw reaches in and grabs them and lifts them high away from their tunnels, their protection. And as much as they wriggle and scratch, they just can't escape. And they find themselves in a new place where there is nothing to dig, nowhere to hide, and everything is exposed and dangerous. Then, unfathomably, the claw returns and lifts them high and deposits them down in a new place where there is bedding and food. But all that's familiar has gone. Some great tsunami has washed away all their clever tunnels and hiding places. It's destruction on the most unimaginable scale. But a gerbil doesn't understand. And as much as you try to tell them that it's okay, you're only cleaning their cage, it's good for them, they just don't get it. In fact, their brains don't even have the structure to begin to understand our words, let alone our stories, or higher mathematics, or the movement of the tides, or the existence of Saturn. Those are utterly and completely beyond them. I'm not saying we're gerbils, because to paraphrase Matthew 10:31, you are of much more value than many gerbils. But the difference between what we understand and what exists is different on that scale and more. It's how much we don't yet know. There are realities that exist in God and God's kingdom, and we don't have any concept that they are even there to know. So when the Sadducees come to Jesus with this absurd chain of marriages, all Jesus can do is point beyond them, to try to give them a glimpse of something of God's reality beyond their understanding, a relationship that's more intimate, more universal than the most intimate relationship that they can imagine on this earth, of which even the very best marriage is only a shadow. Jesus points them beyond what they understand to life that's never corrupted by death. Trying to show us who live, building our own small tunnels in our own little worlds, that there is indeed a world coming that doesn't end, a world that is not finite, that is not limited by time, and that we can only barely imagine this side of heaven. Today, we're celebrating the Feast of All Saints. When we're invited to peer beyond the curtain as we remember all the faithful departed, We remember that God is God of the living, for to God all of them are alive. And we confirm with hope that death is not the end, that what we can see is not all there is. And even that, in some mysterious way, that barrier between heaven and earth is porous. And we live in relationships with the saints, with the church triumphant, with the kingdom of God. This All Saints, we remember that wherever we are, in this life and beyond it, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the same. God is here. And we can trust with all we have that the God who holds us is good and will never abandon us to decay. And that the day will come when we'll know God's eternal living now.